Welcome back to Behind the Play. My name is Alex Adams, and I am joined by, friend of the show, friend in real life, Luke Fox of Sportsnet, a colleague of mine. Thanks so much, Luke, for taking the time and coming on. This is the first time you've come on as a colleague, so I really appreciate it. And how are things at Four Nations? Like, what was that atmosphere like last night?
It was unreal. And it started before the game even began. I think just bringing out Mario Lemieux was something. Whether it was the cheers for him or the really loud boos for Auston Matthews, the Leafs villain in a Team USA sweater, the crowd was ready to go, and the ole 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 chants were starting well before they even got to the anthem. The crowd was amped up, the players were amped up. The goal in the first minute of play, you couldn't have scripted it any better, right? Crosby, McDavid, MacKinnon, all factoring in on the power play, just beautiful stuff. And it seemed like Team Canada kind of rode that momentum. They had two goals before Team Sweden had even registered a shot. And then the game kind of settled in. Crowd got a little quieter when Sweden made its push and tied the game up. But then you get a bit of a storybook ending for Mitch Marner and Team Canada. And you just think, like, had they have blown that lead, and Binnington looked a little shaky there. But he showed up in overtime. But had they blown that lead and not gotten 2 of 3 points, all of a sudden their chances of making the final are in jeopardy, because it's just such a short tournament. But I feel very lucky to be here, and I think it's the wait for best on best has been much too long.
I guess like just being there and seeing like, McDavid, MacKinnon, Crosby, all these guys, like, does it almost baffle you why the NHL for so long kind of was opposed to going to the Olympics? And, obviously COVID, stopped, the Olympics, and they had a World Cup plan, but just in general, it feels like the NHL didn't really maybe understand the marketing opportunity that they had, and now it seems like they're kind of figuring it out.
Yeah, they dropped the ball. I don't think there's any way around it. They really dropped the ball. So I think there was some skepticism about how hard the guys would try, or how exciting this tournament would be. But I have multiple group chats of friends, some of who love hockey, some who don't, and I finish work and I noticed them all talking to each other about the game last night. And some of them are casual fans at best. And that just drills home, I think, the missed opportunity, right? And I blame the owners for sure, for saying, "Hey, oh, it's not worth the risk. We don't want to shut down the season," or heaven forbid, a guy gets injured. And it's true. Shea Theodore is out for weeks. He's an important guy on a team that has cup dreams. So that is part of the risk, but I think the reward greatly outweighs that. And I also blame the players. Under their previous head honcho, Donald Fehr, they didn't make for sure that the Olympics was written into the CBA. That's bad bargaining. I blame Fehr. I blame the players for maybe not taking a little bit more ownership of that negotiation and making sure that their director, who they hire and they fire, like, you're in charge of it. I know you're athletes and you're focused on the game, but you are also in charge of 50% of the business of the game, that you didn't make sure it was written in. So I think it was a failing on both sides, but luckily I think they've come to their senses. We're going to get it every 2 years, it looks like. And yeah, we were robbed. It shouldn't have taken until Connor McDavid's 10th year to be on a team with Sidney Crosby. And thank goodness Sid was healthy for this.
He was unbelievable. I was thinking about how when I was 12, I watched him score that goal. Now I'm in my 20s, and I see him setting up Nathan MacKinnon and obviously Mitch Marner. I guess with that, like for me, like obviously you covered the Leafs. Like to in my mind, that's the biggest goal of Mitch Marner's career, that overtime goal against Sweden. It didn't seem like he had the best game overall, but how do you think maybe this tournament can help Marner maybe heading into the playoffs and just as a player to be around the best players in the world, as you said, because he probably would have been at Olympics or World Cups before, but obviously they didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is for sure the biggest goal of his life. I mean, he was actually asked what the second biggest goal might be, and he was stumped. Eventually he said, I guess my first NHL goal. But that was just because he felt like he had to have an answer. But that just goes to show that he hasn't, I mean, he's a passer first and foremost, but he hasn't had a goal of that magnitude that meant that much. And I had a good chat with Mark Stone about that. I asked him, like, what can a goal like that do for a player like Marner? And he said, you know, hockey is really hard and you need those moments. They can kind of give you a jolt of confidence. They can kind of propel you. And I wonder if we see a bit more of an assertive Marner, not only for the rest of the tournament, because that goal hopefully went to his legs, but for the Leafs playoff push and maybe even past April for once, you know, like, so, you know, I thought his game was just okay. I thought on paper, it's great. Marner and McDavid, but they're both very puck dominant guys. Like they both like to control the play. They both kind of like to be the quarterback or the driver of their lines. So I'm still not convinced that's the best combination. But early in the game, I thought Marner was deferring a little bit, passing it up, kind of looking for other guys. And then he's in all alone. He has no choice, no one to pass to, but to shoot. Perfect shot goes in. And so yeah, you hope that propels him. If you're a Leafs fan or if you're a Team Canada fan or just a fan of like a good redemption story.
His teammate, of course, you mentioned it with Austin Matthews, had the Boo Birds in Montreal, as one would expect. What do you think a tournament like this, he's talked about playing for the USA for a long time. What do you think it can maybe do for him if the States, who in many people's eyes and probably including mine, are the favorites in this tournament, that a big tournament on the biggest stage, what it can kind of do to propel his season moving forward and maybe his career.
Yeah, I mean, I think it can do wonders. You know, I think Marner's probably borne more of the brunt, but all those Leaf guys, right? It's just one series win. The most they've won is five games in a single playoff. Like, it just mounts on you. So, same with Nylander. If I don't think he had a great game, but if somehow Sweden they salvaged a point somehow, if they can make an impact, if Team USA can make an impact, and Austin Matthews leads the way with a C on his chest. That'll be something for him for sure. Just watching Team USA's practice this morning, it's hard not to think that they might be the favorite. Like they just look so good. They're so deep. Connor Hellebuyck he reached around and hit his back in practice and swatted away a puck that was going to go in with the shaft of his goalie stick behind him. And this was in morning skate, and everyone just stood up and started banging their sticks. And that guy's dialed in. Like, they look like a force to be reckoned with. Curious choice for captain. I get that Austin Matthews is probably the face of the team, the most marketable guy. He's the guy with the Hart Trophy and won the goal scoring races, but he's also fairly young. Fairly unaccomplished in the playoffs, and he's not the most emotional leader. He's a quiet lead by example type. So they're doing their stretch this morning, and it's Matthew Tkachuk going around and swatting everyone on the butt with his stick and kind of engaging the whole group. And I wonder, you know, he's the guy with the cup ring. I wonder if they thought about slapping the C on him, but they didn't. So let's see how it shakes out.
That's an interesting kind of point that you make, just with Matthews. Like, do you think it's almost a marketing thing, or just they felt like he's been the face of USA hockey since he was 15, 16, and not, of course, obviously he's done pretty well in the regular season.
Yeah, maybe both, and maybe he's the captain of a major market team. He handles the spotlight well. Tkachuk's not even the captain of his own team. I'm not quite sure. And he is the best player. He's the best pure talent. And I think maybe it's like this guy sets the bar. in terms of how he can impact the game, not just with his shot, which is otherworldly, but also with his defensive play, Selke finalist, all that. Now he is going into the tournament on his longest goal drought of the season. He had a bunch of assists in the Leafs' final road trip, but this is the longest he's gone all year without a goal. So he is a little snake bit. So I'm sure he wants to get one early in this tournament.
I guess just maybe on the scoring, transitioning a little bit to the Leafs, obviously the trade deadline's coming up. It feels as though they're definitely going to add a forward, likely a third line center. Like, how all in do you think Brad Treloving will be at the deadline? They're missing their first round pick this year. Like, what do you think they're going to likely end up doing at the deadline?
My sense is it's going to be modest and it might not excite that many Leaf fans. To me, all in is spending like your 2026 first rounder. I mean, GMs would prefer 2025 first rounders than 2026. Fraser Minton and or Easton Kentland. Like those are the serious trade chips you have to play. So if you want to go out and get a center with term, I think they do have some interest in like a Braden Schenn. I know they called on Dylan Cousins. I find it hard to wrap my head around why Kevin Adams would give them Dylan Cousins for futures, because I think what Buffalo needs is guys that can make an impact right away. I think they're tired of rebuilding, so I don't know if there's a fit there. But that would be a major move. Otherwise, if that doesn't happen, I see him spending his second rounder, maybe deeper picks, and just renting, a Nick Bjugstad, I don't know, a Yanni Gourde if he's healthy. But I don't know how much that moves the needle. And I don't know if they're one of those small pieces away from suddenly increasing their cup chances. I'd like to see him explore a bigger move and be more aggressive, because teams around them are doing it, right? The Rangers are doing it. The Hurricanes are doing it. I think it's worth at least exploring.
Is that something where, last year they didn't make a huge move at the deadline as well? It felt like that, the Treloving and Co. didn't really believe in them as being like a true Stanley Cup contender. This season, they're doing better, at least in the standings. Like, is that, do you think they see the team in a similar fashion as they did maybe last season?
I think they're higher on this version than last year's version. Like they had interest in David Savard last year, but they didn't want to pay the price. They had interest in Adam Henrique, but they didn't want to pay the price. So they nibbled at the fringes. They got Connor Dewar and Joel Edmondson and Lyubushkin, and yeah, that increased their depth, but it didn't substantially change the team. I think they like this version more because they're better defensively. Their penalty kill has sharpened up a bit, and the biggest reason is they're getting really good goaltending. Great news that Anthony Stolarz came back healthy and looked like he didn't miss a beat right before the break. That would give me the biggest reason for belief that this year's team can go farther than last year's, is suddenly the goaltending is a strength and not a question mark of the Leafs. I'm a big Stolarz guy. I'm a big Wall guy. Health's always a concern, but when they've been healthy, they've been rock solid. And the other factor is the East to me is more wide open and weaker than it was last year. So that should make them think about seriously diving maybe a bit deeper into the trade market, just because the competition isn't as strong, I don't think, as it was last year.
The one thing that I find is just a bit perplexing, and I watch Leafs games when I can, and this one player just really seems to be struggling this season is Morgan Rielly. Is it that he's a new dad? We see here in Ottawa, like, Brady Tkachuk is having a bit of a down year for his standards. He just had a kid. But like, what do you think's happening with Morgan Rielly's game thus far this season?
Yeah, well, the good thing is he really began to turn it around during the most recent road trip. I think his best four-game stretch all season was probably the four games heading into break. Got a goal, even though they lost in Vancouver, his hometown. got some assists, but it was more the eye test. Like he was jumping up in the play more, seemed to be finding his legs, finding some confidence. So that's a positive. But there's no hiding around the fact that this has overall been a down year for him. And I'm sure there's a human element of adjusting to dad life. But I also think Brubé's system doesn't play to his strengths. You know, he came in hot with we're always chipping it in and chasing. And Morgan Rielly wants to carry the puck. You know, he's more of a possession type defenseman. And I think he liked Sheldon Keefe's style and was used to playing that style for years and years. And some of the guys, just by nature of the kind of player they are, were able to adapt to Berube's style right away. It's fit Bobby McMahon. It's fit Matthew Nyes. I think it fits Jake McCabe. Morgan Rielly, absolutely, there's been an adjustment period. So a bit of system, a bit of playing with a million different partners, maybe a bit of life off the ice as well. And then, like with anything, it snowballs. You can't get an assist. You get two dashes one night, three the next. You start getting in your own head. You're not playing as free. You start second guessing yourself. So hopefully he takes the fact that his game was trending up right near the break as fuel for when they come back.
As you know, Toronto is always deemed as like the toughest market to be in, or definitely one of. And it felt like heading into the season that, you know, maybe returning a little bit back to the overtime hero and Mitch Marner, that his pending UFA status this summer would really kind of be mentioned all the time, and it'd become a circus because it's Toronto, and it really feels like it hasn't. Like, where do things stand there? And is it, you know, I'm sure the playoffs have a big kind of exclamation mark as to, you know, his future with or with, you know, maybe without the Leafs. But like, why do you think it's kind of been quiet on that end, it seems like, throughout the season?
Because it's a stalemate, and because he has a no move clause. So, like Mikko, some people have said, "Oh, why can't you move him like Mikko Rantanen? Like, be aggressive. If you're not going to pay his price, then move on and try and get something at least for him." Well, the guy has a no move clause that he ne negotiated in good faith, and we question whether the Leafs handed out no move clauses a little bit too freely. I think they did. Because it limits your option, ties your hands. But he has control. He doesn't want to go anywhere. So what's the other option? You can't trade him. So you extend him or you just play it out. And to extend him, the gap is just too big. We see the cap on the rise. We see how few elite pending free agents there are. To me, there's a class with Rantanen and Marner. And then it's a severe step down. You start getting into like Brock Besser. Fine player, great shooter, but kind of one-dimensional, right? More of a middle six player on a contending team. I wouldn't put him on front line of a cup contender. But you know, he's a bit of a step down. Brad Marchand, love the guy, but he's getting old. John Tavares, same thing, getting a little bit old. So they're not gonna command the same amount. All of a sudden, it's not just the Leafs and the Hurricanes that have money to spend on these guys, but there's 30 other teams that all of a sudden their budgets increased. So if you're the agent for Marner or Rantanen, your asking price is maybe not 14, but definitely 13. You're not starting it with a 12, right? You're starting 13 something. Maybe you are trying to start with 14. It's a lot. And the Leafs are like, well, that's too much. We're not doing that now. And maybe they'll balk later. Maybe Marner will balk later and say, you know what? I love being a Leaf so much. Or we won two rounds and we're close. I want to stay here. Or maybe he says, this is my chance to really get paid. I'm taking my talents to Chicago, Utah, Seattle, wherever. Because there's going to be lots of teams desperate for a superstar.
How likely, like in your mind, like, I mean, obviously the playoffs will cement it. Like, if they bow out in the first round, like every year, then things look different than if they make the Eastern Conference Finals. But I guess in your mind, like, what's the appetite for the two sides to kind of make amends when July 1st comes around?
Yeah, I Honestly, it seems like I'm about chickening out of the question, but I do think it's a little bit of time will tell. How does it play out? Do they go far? How does he look if they go far? How does he look if they bow out early? All this is, comes back to last night and the fact that him rising to the occasion, I think is a great sign for everyone. I don't think that the team has given up on the idea of keeping Mitch Marner. I think they love the talent. They know he's going to be nearly impossible to replace. They've always said that they want to bet on skill and that it will eventually win out. But I do think at some point that there comes a price where they will be willing to walk away and say, maybe there's another way to build a team. Maybe we take that 13 and a half million or whatever it is and get one really good player and two depth guys. And maybe secondary scoring doesn't become a big of an issue, but there's no doubt he would leave a huge hole.
I remember talking to you in the past about how this team missed their window to win the cup. Like, as you mentioned, the East feels wide open. Like, how close do you think this team is to becoming a cup contender? Like, do you think they could have go deep in the playoffs, maybe even make the finals? Like, do you see that in this group as it's presently constructed, assuming at least some additional, adds to the team?
There's a chance. They're not. I don't have them as one of my favorites to come out of the East. Like I said, I'm a believer in their goaltending. I have serious questions about their center depth. I think they need to add that. And then I question their secondary scoring. I question that they have two, let alone three, legitimate D pairs. Simon Benoit seems to have hit a bit of a wall. Philippe Myers, Connor Timmins, they've had moments where they've kept their head above water, but overall, I can't see that group lasting four rounds. It's really tough for me to wrap my head around that. And Morgan Rielly, I think he can play better, but can he and player X establish a legitimate second pair? Because I have no questions about the McCabe-Tanev pairing. I think they're phenomenal. But I think you need a really strong top four if you want to win three rounds, four rounds. I don't see it yet. So to me, there's multiple holes.
Before I let you go, Luke, obviously, as we mentioned, you're at the Four Nations. Has the US surpassed Canada in terms of the hockey world? Like it, I kind of wrote about this at the World Juniors. The US won back-to-back World Juniors in pretty convincing style, the last 2 years. Like, do you feel like we're at a bit of a tipping point here?
I think we're approach. Yeah, we're getting to one. I think there's going to be a lot of people jumping to conclusions based on a sample size of one game Saturday night. Yeah, I'm, this is why I got into the business. I'm so lucky that that's going to be my job, that I'm going to be in the Bell Center for that game. But I think there'll be a lot of think pieces written on the outcome of that game, no matter which way it goes. And I look at Canada's forwards, and I don't have any doubts. If Team USA loses, they can always say, "Hey, we didn't have the best or second best defenseman in the world. Quinn Hughes is out of this tournament, right?" So they have that excuse. But the goaltending, I think there is a big gap there. I think there's a big gap there.
I still question the decisions, but that's for another time, Luke. But in terms of the goaltenders in net, you can just look at the save percentages on this year in the NHL, and there's three Canadians in the top five, and none of them are on the roster. So that kind of tells you something. But thanks so much, Luke, for taking the time. Is there anything you want to plug for Sportsnet or anything kind of coming up that, yeah.
Sure. I mean, I'm going to be writing probably twice daily during this tournament, at least once. So stay tuned for that. But I just published a feature on Drew Doughty and how much it meant to him to play in this tournament. And he's one of the better talkers in the league. So I encourage people to read that. It was something a little more fun to write just because he's so open and candid. And he said that when he snapped his ankle in preseason, He was lying on the ice and began thinking at that moment about playing in this tournament, and did that injury, take him out of the running. That's how much he cares about this. It was one of his first thoughts before the trainers even helped him off the ice. He was thinking about the Four Nations. So don't think that this doesn't matter to some of these guys.
No, I think anyone that questioned that was joking or didn't d doesn't understand the psyche of NHL players, but that's incredible. But Drew Doughty looks like a warrior and is a warrior. Thank you so much, Luke, for taking the time, and I'm definitely going to read that. And thanks again for coming on.
All right. Thanks, Alex.